Hi, this is Dave O'Meara, and this is 5x5 for Thursday, May 22nd, 2008. Today I'd like to talk about the character Juan Garcia Madero. Over the last week or so, I've been rereading the opening section of Roberto Bolaño's The Savage Detectives, the first 125 pages of the book, which consist of the diary of one Juan Garcia Madero, the 17-year-old law student who
more of an
joins
explanation
the visceral
of how my mind works when I return to something
Roberto
that
Bolaño's
I'm not familiar with than an actual exploration of the topic under consideration. And I just right now, despite my best effort, the computer behind me has turned on for reasons that I do not
understand. It doesn't fit. Okay. We'll count the exercise and we'll count this.
I wake up in the middle of the night.
To free write a full page of legal paper, I lost. I spent a wasteful weekend. I am lonely. I have severed my connections with NATF, and now I suspect my life will go downhill.
Culminating
not
on the
bad,
to take that first patient
situation really,
whether this is actually Swabsky's point or not, yeah, I'm just arguing from the implication of that particular sentence. To take that implication further, a man uninterested in the professional arts world, uninterested in artistic autonomy, whatever that is, whether it's financial or pure visual
end to this section of the book.
Such a man is presumed.
All in all, Juan Garcia Madero I found to be a remarkably enjoyable companion in this rereading, now that I know that really the book isn't about him, and you can really just enjoy the humor of his observations and of his sexual and literary awakening, and which are described in a fairly direct and unaffected style.
As if they did. It's the monotonous squalor of these lives that run parallel to my own external life. It's their inner certainty of being my equal that straps me in the straitjacket, locks me in the prison cell, and makes me feel apocryphal and beggarly.
Dynamometer.
Nice word, okay.
Which would vary according to temperature and many other circumstances. Nor is this all.
Okay.
We cannot say that the weight of the body P was applied to the body C and keeps in equilibrium before
I recall that this review tossing out as a sort of class
all of those
the uses had references being code for having had a certain background, a certain opportunities, a certain shared sophistication. But I must say that I'm enjoying it, even though it challenges me, alternately challenges and bores.
That is the critical tendency, the lazy critical tendency, to assert that any moderately interesting character of about the same age and gender as the author represents the author writing about him or herself. Here are a couple of instances that have stuck in my craw for years. I remember an old teacher of mine who, when I mentioned Nabokov's Panin, complacently observed that Nabokov, of course, was writing about himself, apparently because both Nabokov
a discussion in which the stern-minded critics have been calling out unscrupulous curators and gallery owners for snatching up innocent naives and marketing them as the unschooled genius of the moment, which, depending on the sleaziness of the promoted and the quality of the work in question, might well be.
In common with all virtues and indeed all vices, my inner virtue, my capacity for objectivity that deflects from me. No, it's his capacity for objectivity that deflects him from thoughts of self. That dynamic suffers from crises of conscience
alone, with two different names.
I
remember Nick Adams thinking that Leopold Bloom in James Joyce's Ulysses was too much like James Joyce to be a really great character, apparently because they were both male and thought about sex a lot. Although the differences between Stephen Dedalus and Leopold Bloom could hardly be more pronounced, and it actually makes me wonder whether Hemingway read the entire book or just read the dirty parts.